Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and the one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, I will go do this or that, go to that city or spend a year here or there or carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. This morning, I want to have a kind of a discussion or kind of like an open dialogue if we can. And I want to ask, in light of the deviant actions that is happening with a lot of males, I want to ask the question, there's actually two questions. Does the three Abrahamic faiths or religions have to do with the male's problem today? What effect or theology promotes that type of idea? And what will the feminization of the church or society look like? Will it be social justice or social equality? So we're going to start with the first question, and that is there something in our faith that has promoted this problem to a male eliteness? And I say that the answer to that question is yes. It is. We have, there is a connection, I think, between the Jewish faith, Islam, and the Christian faith that has given liberties to the males, male hierarchy. And I want to go back to Genesis, and where I believe, and what many people believe, is the idea is formulated that allows man to think that he has a domain over women and the put down of woman. I do not believe in that the Bible supports the idea of inequality of women. I'll state that right from the very beginning. I think that is a terrible misunderstanding of the biblical text. Now, I will grant you, in chapter 3 of Genesis, where the fall is talked about, there is a lot of things going on. There is not one particular idea that flows through any of these texts in the beginning. So if you take the first creation story, and then you take the second creation story, and then it goes to the fall of humanity. There's a lot of things happening. Nowhere in the creation stories that I see is there a put down of the female. There is none. There was male. It says man was created. The summation back here where it says, so God, verse 27 of chapter 1, this is in the first creation story. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That says they are equal. Now, and if you go to the second one, the man says this. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and I shall call her woman, for she has been taken out of man. There still is no putting down of the female aspect of it. There's two separate stories of creation, and granted, there are others that are available. These two made it into the Bible and is accepted. So I want to deal in the framework of what's in the Bible. And so I'm going to look at chapter 3 about the fall. So if someone can tell me what the serpent is, and the most crafty animal of the world, of the wild animals, that is assumed to be the devil. But Eve is not mentioned until the end of the chapter. So the addressing Eve, Adam and Eve, does not come until verse 20, after the fall, the curse, all this. It only refers to her as the woman. My projection of this is not the separation of man and woman, because throughout the text it says that man this, meaning both male and female. What I do, and whether it's right or wrong, or whether you agree with it or not, I see wisdom as woman. I have said this before, and I see that wisdom has fallen and took a nosedive. We lack wisdom. We don't lack, I mean, we shouldn't be association of women, how can I say this? We don't associate the fall with the female aspect. There is a female aspect all the way through the Bible. It's just not in the front of your face all the time. Because granted, males did run the world. I mean, that's the way it was. And it still is, to some extent. So, if you believe what was taught to you, that women were put down and were lesser, you will eventually, through time, come up with a male supremacy or a male idea that we are supreme. Seeing how I'm a male, I'm going to say we, over the female. That is taught, actually taught. In the Jewish faith, in Orthodox Jewish faith, not all of them of Judaism, it takes 10 women to equal one man. That's taught. That's not some, you know, idea. That's taught. There are many churches on Islam is the same way. We know, we see what Islam is like. They put down women. They're like some cases lower than cattle. It's a shame. I don't believe that. I don't think that's even biblical. I think that's heresy, and that's totally wrong. That's a gross manipulation. Yes, Mike. And you can see that through King Solomon and David, who had all these concubines of women. I mean, this flows through the Bible. And through time, through millennia, it has been part of the male psyche. I think that the church has a direct responsibility with what is happening today. Yes, they may not have been going to church, but that idea of supremacy is living out its ends today, I think. And women for the first time, yes, Asa.
I think I have a definite advantage over the way I see things, because I was raised in a church that always had a woman pastor. This in the 1800s, this woman had her son run over by a buggy, like we would have a car accident, and the child was dying in the hospital, and she said, "Lord, if you heal my child, I'll turn my house into a church." To a Southern Street Mission in Elmira, and it always had a woman pastor there. And that was where I was raised, and so a lot of the teaching and stuff, all the teaching, for the most part, except for evangelism, was always from the perspective of
someone. You're rare, because yeah, that's...
I think it is rare, and I think yes. That's why I see things a lot of times differently than... not really always, but it's unique because I see things differently.
Yes. You have a different perspective than what a male-oriented teaching would, for sure. But you're the minority, for sure.
This question you're asking is like to say, I have a pistol here in my hand. If any of you guys want to shoot yourself in the foot, come on up and take the pistol and shoot yourself in the foot. Because no matter what the guys say here today, it's
going to be bad. We are taking a whacking for sure. And in some sense, I think that the males deserve it. I mean, I think in some cases. Now, I grew up, as you know, in a very conservative setting. Women sat on one side and men on the other side. But I never got the idea that I had an advantage over top of the lesser vessel. That's what we were taught.
The times they are changing. In Saudi Arabia, just very, very recently, women are now allowed to drive cars.
It is changing.
Very new.
But it's going to be very slow, and Islam is going to be very slow. And, you know, if you take ISIS and all them, you know, they demean women. I mean, there's a lot of demeaning of women, let alone races, other races. We're just talking about women here. So, but even in our Christian faith today, there are many, many churches that don't even allow women to participate in leadership. I mean, you don't got to go very far.
And this congregation, where's Leota? Can't see you. We were one of the very first churches in this whole area to have women deacons and elders. And I believe Deb Casey was the first female pastor in this area. So we're lucky in this congregation that we have had a long tradition of women taking equal part in the church.
This is a unique church, Mike.
I remember when I was in the RPF, the last, like, 3 months I was there, like, going to church every Sunday, the one pastor died, and so this girl took place, and she actually became the pastor, like, the two Sundays before I left.
That's an unusual thing, too. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm speaking in generalities, and many denominations, parts of my of the Mennonite faith, still do not allow women to have any type of leadership. Look at the Catholic Church; you can't be a female nun. I mean, a priest. I mean, that's still going to do. I'm not meaning to criticize or to put down. I think if you don't bring it to the forefront and discuss it, it's not going to change. And if you don't have an awareness. Then there is how do you to expect change? I see. If you want to blame somebody, and if you're looking at the text of in chapter 3 and looking for somebody to blame, where is the responsibility of the male looking after the woman and making sure she didn't eat of the fruit and be tempted by the serpent? I see it as a kind of irresponsible male.
Then you're all, in that sentence, you're kind of still putting the male ahead of the female by saying he should look after.
That's true. I am doing that.
They're supposed to be equal.
Yeah,
he should have been her boss, right? He should have been her boss and told her not to eat that fruit.
Yes, Asa.
Well, the men did not take the fruit was given to Adam before he was created. And Eve would have only heard it from Adam. And so when the serpent said, did the Lord really say, he was questioning what she had heard from her husband. And so she really didn't have the direct commandment. And a lot of times the problem we have is not having that relationship where we hear the direct commandment of the Lord, but we hear a pastor say it or we hear someone else.
That's a good point.
Because
that's
there's a empowerment.
Yes.
When the Lord says, you know, if you try to quit smoking, and you try to quit smoking, and then the Lord says, quit smoking. And when he says quit smoking, there's empowerment in what he says. It's like it's between relationship and religion, the difference between hearing the Lord for yourself or hearing someone else say the Lord said.
You can't get that. You make a good point, but then here again, then you're saying woman was not educated enough to make a decision on her own.
She wasn't there.
She wasn't there. Well, in the first creation story, they were there. Male and female did he create in the first?
Well, that's because the first page is a song. It's not really. It was called creation hymn. Chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 4 was called the creation hymn. It was a song he sang around the campfire. And Moses put that in. He didn't write that. He put that in the Bible called the creation hymn because it's the oldest hymn that exists on earth.
And in Genesis 2:15, God is telling Adam not to eat the fruit. And then in verse 18, then he decides to create a woman. So she wasn't there.
This is the complexity of the text. This is what we're pointing out, the complexity of the text. And so what somebody is doing is coming out and saying, male comes out ahead. And I think that is grossly misunderstanding the text. You're plowing one thought through it and saying that's all it says. And I don't think that's what the text is trying to tell us at all. And right here we had pointed out, like I just said, the complexity of the Genesis text are that complex that not just one idea flows through it. You cannot connect every verse and every idea together to make one thought. Nor can you through the Bible. That's the complexity of the Bible. The diverseness in which you view various different things. But I don't think you should come up with the idea of male dominance. But it has. And it has been around for years, Connie.
Isn't it that when it comes to the male dominance theory, a lot of them hark back to Adam and Eve in that Eve was made from Adam.
That's so the second story.
Yeah, but there's so many that say, think that because of that, she's
lesser
than. I think of it as equal.
Exactly. You take an H, it has a one here and a one here and a part across. That's how I see that story. That's an equal person attached. You wouldn't want your wife attached to your head, would you? I mean, you wouldn't have attached to the toe. You attach to your heart, your heart area. So it moves out and it becomes another person. There's still equality in the H of the story.
What's the H?
The H has two up and downs with a piece.
What do you, why do you pick out H?
Well, what other letters? It don't look like a G. Okay, come over here and stand.
No,
you stand beside me.
Look out, it's me and we're Martin.
Heart, there you go. H for heart. Very good. Right. So if it was taken out of my rib, it moves this way, which is the lateral piece of the H, and then there's another person.
Well, I just wonder why you're using a letter. And
because it stands for heart, like Connie said.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's a rib replacement.
You take the H off the beginning of heart and you put it on the end, you get birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, so there you go.
See, you know, see, we are seeing some of the complexity of the text. It's complex.
How come Adam called her name is Woe Man?
Woe Man.
Huh? She was always doing things that Adam couldn't do, and he was saying, "Whoa, man." Then she had a baby, and he said, "Whoa, man." Well, she kept doing all these things he couldn't do, so he just started calling her Whoa, man.
This is what I wanted to happen. Have a good time with it. Because I think sometimes we get too serious about it, and we forget what's going on.
Oh, I'm serious.
Yeah. So you begin to see that it's not all that clear in the text in which most people will refer to, in which they get their authority to rule over top of woman. It's not that clear. Would we agree with that?
Yes.
It's not that clear. I see it more as an equality than it is at. So.
The H.
I put wisdom in there. Where in that creation story of the fall, I put wisdom in there. Because, and that's part of a Jewish idea that I think that comes. And if you put that in there, the separation of wisdom away from humanity, which we lack wisdom. I don't care what anybody says. We lack wisdom. Our human minds lack wisdom. And so the Bible goes on to say that we went in search of an earthly wisdom. And even in the story of Cain and Abel, well, Cain rose up and killed all the good that was to happen. So even again in another story of Cain and Abel, we were shortchanged again on wisdom because it got killed off. It went into the depths of the earth, and then Eve had another child, Seth. So we were separated from wisdom by a mile, the way I see it. And that's the whole Christ story to me. That's some of the Christ story. Is Christ brings back that wisdom through the giving back of the Holy Spirit, and where we can communicate one-to-one. So, but you have to some degree, that it is not what we should be getting out of Genesis. So how do we get rid of this idea of male dominance? I'm not sure. I think is what's happening now, I think is what males have done to other women of their own age, let alone pedophiles and what have you. It's terrible. I think, I just think it's, is the cause greater than the sin that was committed? We take Roy Moore, who has not been convicted, but it looks like he has committed some atrocities to younger girls. But yet he's still going to be allowed to vote, so the cause is greater than the sin that he has committed. I find that really kind of grotesque myself.
But in that case, I haven't watched it that closely, but aren't we a society of innocent until proven guilty? And he has not had his day in court yet.
So we're doing what James says not to do. We're taking the law in our own hand and judging that person.
Correct. I mean,
we are, in some extent.
He may not have done it. And if he did do it, he should definitely not be. But what if he didn't? And it's just a hysteria type thing. I'm going to do this because I can and destroy somebody.
I think there's too many women that came out now that it's past the point. OJ, in my mind, was guilty, but he got off in a court of law. So,
yeah.
I mean, just because he's not convicted of it, to me, doesn't prove that he did or didn't do it.
I'm not sure Gore even wants a day in court.
Yeah, I don't think he wants
a
day.
Then it would all be
Well, there's a difference
official.
Between court and election.
Yeah.
He's running. People have a choice to decide whether or not they want him in office. But he should have a day in court, too, which is apart from that. But as far as whether people believe him or not and want him in office, that should be allowed. You know.
Well, at least women can finally vote.
What got me is that the conservative evangelical people are still supporting him, knowing that this is still happening.
It's terrible.
And so it's a cause greater than I find that to be very, very difficult.
So they did that when Trump elected him, knowing what he did.
Well, yeah, I know. It,
Clinton. You got to remember Clinton.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean.
Our society doesn't seem to care very much about those things anymore like they used to.
So what will be the effect of women rising up and getting equality? I like the word equality, not social justice, because if social justice, what are they going to do, revenge onto the male and do the same thing as the male does? Carol, huh? You're laughing and getting all excited about beating up on the males?
Maybe for a few hundred years until we know what it's like.
Just to make sure.
That's social justice.
Make sure you understand social justice.
That's social justice to me, is what I see social justice. So the women want to, you know, tip the scales and make us feel like they felt, but I see we want social equality. So we rise up and we both come together and work together, and we can have differences. And I definitely think the female aspect of society adds a definite positive to the world around us. And it has been repressed for many, many centuries. And I think we need to change that for sure. So what would you, in our district, we have 7 churches, and now the scale has now been tipped to the female side. We're going to have 4 female pastors and 3 male pastors. So I'm waiting to see the effect of what that's going to happen. So what happens in that effect? As the equalizing out, or the social justice, or the tipping the scales the other way, what's going to happen? Anybody want to comment on that?
Young people seeing that women less than men, that they are...
Why do women compare themselves to a man?
Because men have done it to us for years.
Mike.
As I believe, and I tell F1F, women are so much better than men. They're smarter. They do stuff that men can't do. They're actually working on making it stronger than most men. They have more energy than men. All this kind of stuff that men don't have. And yet, men are still trying to control the women.
Yeah, I see it as different. I don't know why women would rather remotely be and act like a man. That would just be...
I don't
be,
think they really are being thinking of comparing themselves to men. They just want to say, I can do this just as well as you can.
I would hope they would do it better.
Well, yeah. Well, they got to be given a chance.
Or differently. You know, and all of us have heard stories where females turn out to be, you know, about like a male. They dominate, they do whatever, when they get into power. I would like to see women become different and add a positive mix into the male-female society.
Yeah, but a lot of times it's only one woman against how many men, so she has to fight tooth and nail just like they do to even be heard. Or they talk right over it.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's coming out now, because as more and more women begin to speak about their things in the past, it'll come bubbling out. I mean, for years and years. I'm sure I'm not a female, so I don't know exactly what happened, but I bet every female in here can probably say something sometime in their life where a male did something that wasn't probably appropriate or gestured or something. Maybe I was part of the problem too. I don't know. you know I was, right? Mike.
It's not always men that do some bad stuff either. Women do it just as bad.
Yeah, there's cases of that, yes. So, any comments on them two questions? Anybody else before I go into the thanks? Thankfulness of this message and the conclusion. I'm not really sure what's going to happen in the future. We don't know how this is all going to play out, but I would certainly like to see it come to an end. Bubble out and the women get their day in court if that's what they want, or a certain sense of equality. I don't have a problem with dealing with women in my business. There's many, many women down in Mercer that I deal with all the time. Agents that I have to deal with, it's no big deal to me.
I think the lesson is the man has to learn something from this and stop doing it. It's not so much the women.
Well, you make a good point there, dear.
I didn't hear it.
That the man has to learn something from this, not the woman. That any man cannot just go do what they want, willy-nilly, say what they want. You know, it's the lesson for the man to learn.
As you know, we've had this discussion before. okay, anybody else have any comments on them two questions? What will it look like in the feminization of the world? It'd be a positive thing, Mike.
I think before the woman would be equal with men, women would overpower men for a very long time.
Well, we would hope that doesn't happen. So I want to look at the text that we read in light of Thanksgiving. What can we be thankful for out of this passage? You say, well, how am I going to get anything thankful out of here? So in the first part of it, it says about submitting yourself to God and the devil and resist the devil and he will flee to you. So and it's about turning our lives into soberness, but yet God will lift us up. And I think there is a certain aspect of, or there is an aspect of our lives, if we give our stress and our worries and our doubts and our fears about tomorrow over to Christ and kind of let go of them in a way that there is a lifting up. Even if you have a way of giving them out, God will lift you up, he says. I think when you talk to somebody about these things, that's a way of relieving yourself of them too. Letting go of some of our stresses, sometimes we stress, I think, way too much over things that we don't need to stress about. They seem to work themselves out. Doubt and our worries and our fears about tomorrow. You know, what someone has said to you or did to you. I'm not saying in the case of what we just talked about that you should just throw them away and bury them. Sometimes you have to take action and do something about them. But it says, the biblical idea is by letting them go or giving them to Christ, he will lift you up and a sense of freedom. So if we get rid of our stress and our doubts, there's a sense of freedom that comes with that. We don't, so we can be thankful for that idea that we don't be buried down into ourselves. There is a light out and that sense of freedom. Christ gives us that sense of freedom. Number two, we don't need to judge our neighbor. We can look at the action, but not judge the neighbor. I think too often we slander someone. We were talking about Roy Moore here a little ago because he hasn't been prosecuted by the court. So is that considered to be slander? We're slanderous against him? My conclusion is... So I'm just bringing up the idea. So when the evidence points to that point, it's not slander. We're looking at the action and saying, look, you did it. But still, you have to, don't you have to separate the action away from the individual so you can reach out to the individual to some extent? Or do we just let the Roy Moore wallow in his sin?
When I visited in jail, and we have a Bible study, I'll let him enter in. I won't hold it against
him. He basically is off the book because of the statute of limitations.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, which in some ways, from his point of view, is good. In other ways, this isn't going to go away because there is no way to investigate and have a court decision that says you did or didn't do it.
So the court of public opinion, yeah, the court of public opinion will convict him,
yeah.
And that is.
I'm probably a little softer on what he's done because what I've heard, and I honestly haven't followed him closely, was that most of these girls were what was considered of age in that state. Where we don't consider it. It wasn't 18.
14.
Yeah. 14's a little young.
Yeah. Well, 14-year-old, but the rest of them were supposed to be.
He used to prowl the...
16. Yeah. They kicked him out of the mall. They said they banned him from the mall.
We still read the songs. We still read the songs, all the songs of David.
Yes.
My favorite one is 91. But we all, and I get my kicks from Psalm 66. But David did a lot worse than Moore did, and we still read his songs, and they're read in church often on Sunday. So I don't think it's going to make a big difference eventually.
You make a point too. I don't know if I could compare Roy Moore with King Solomon.
David had someone killed for his wife. There was a few things David did that were wrong.
Oh, yeah.
He and his 300 men went and killed the whole community, so no one could reform them. But David lamented of his previous actions.
Yeah, that's a very good point. He lamented that.
So far, we haven't had any lament.
But we read his songs, is what I'm saying. So, what Moore did is probably that terrible than what David did.
I think it's a great discussion.
I think we should have to ask each girl who was out here.
The reason I'm a little softer on maybe than others is because I married at 15. My husband was 19. According to law, he should have been put in jail for child abuse.
Well, I think that's a big difference between 30 and actually going out prowling in the mall.
Prowling, yes, that probably.
Is that
I've shot him myself,
That's more of your husband taking responsibility of what he did, and you made your life again. Where I don't,
he
was,
did it because he wanted to get married.
He did it. He wanted to get married, and it was the only way we could do it at the time.
Well, what do you want me to say? I'm done, Paul. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say.
But there are different degrees of things and different times in society. And forgive me, Janice, but one of the things was what we said and did in regards to different races 20 years ago. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, compared to what we think of as right today. But back then, especially in this area, we had no one to compare it to, nothing to go with. It was the way society was. We were closed in many ways. And yet, again, things change.
Yes.
And if you look back at him, from what I'm seeing, most of it is 15, 20 years ago. And yes, he's old enough, he should have known better a long time ago. But
he has a problem. He wasn't like your husband looking for a wife. He just out of a problem.
Yeah.
That's the difference to me.
But there again, what was his society like?
Grand Alabama was, how can I say this nicely? Yes, they allowed certain things that the North did not. Now let me ask you this, if your parents or his parents would have wanted to prosecute him, the law would allow them to prosecute him.
Right.
Or down, whatever, yes.
Molestation.
Statutory rape. So you're fortunate that neither one of your parents wanted to press charges and allow it to go. So you did an illegal act that was overlooked by the law.
Well, I had four brothers, and my husband was to them more of a son than my brothers were.
Well, I'm not going to criticize what you did, but the law would have allowed prosecution.
Yeah, it would have.
And the same in Roy Moore with a 15-year-old, the law would have allowed prosecution. But the circumstances where they were, the woman, I mean, they didn't stand a chance, especially not down in Alabama.
They're just young, just going
to be. He was the district attorney, and he was doing work for them, too, as way I understand.
Nobody would have believed him.
Yeah, nobody would have believed him. So he got away with it. He's getting away with it.
He more or less threatened her not to tell.
And then he says he's a Christian.
Yeah, if he was upstanding about this, there's a thing called parental permission. I had married students in North Carolina who were 16 and 17, whose parents gave permission for them to marry.
Right.
And they went to school. There's a difference between acceptable, consenting, and supportive relationships.
Yes. When there's a family issue.
There's not, it's not, when it's just a power issue, which it certainly appears to be in his case,
yes,
then it is not an acceptable thing. If he had had good intentions,
right,
then this business of getting permission from the mother would have gone beyond getting permission from the mother.
Harry Weinstein, who did very, even with adults, I think is detestable.
Well, during the campaign, the candidate who became president said that if you're rich enough, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Grab whatever you want to grab.
All of this is going to bring a lot of things out. So
the prior president wasn't a heck of a lot, but well, no.
I don't think he
before the prior president wasn't any better.
Old man Bush with his hands.
Clint doing that now.
Yeah, he's doing that now. He just did it the other week.
He's doing that.
Well,
Clinton. I mean, on and on it goes. Kennedy's. I mean, it's been around for ages.
How about it's been around as long as there's been humans?
Yeah. But I'm glad to see that women are standing up and sticking up and saying, okay, this is enough. I mean, I never thought of once of groping some woman and, you know, doing that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where that comes from.
Have you watched the Russians that were really based on, like, the actual way the, back in those days how they were? You would see there was a lot of older men raping 16, 17 year old women because they looked pretty cool.
Well, I mean, in war times, you know, look what happens. I mean, it goes on and on. Where was I on the things that we could be thankful for?
We've been all married almost 50 years. How about that?
You have been blessed. But not everybody's marriage turns out the way yours does. Of course, not everybody's marriage turns out anyway, even if they wait till they're 20 and get married. So, God bless you.
I'm thankful for one of my friends, my really old friend, came back into town a couple days ago.
Good. A comment here, I'm going to zip down here pretty fast here, we're getting a little long. Does your theology have a built-in judgment or hate built right into it? Dispensationalism, which has to do with rapture, which some people are going to get raptured out, and the others are going to be left behind. I think that that's a little much for me. I don't think that's really a prosperity or a Calvinist point of view, John Calvinist point of view, a predestination of God's elect. I've talked about this before. Just be careful of how you're saying you're God's elect. You better be doing what God told you to do. And most people that were God's elect, their lives did not turn out the best in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I'm working on a book. It's called The Right Behind Series.
What is it?
I'm working on a book called The Right Behind Series.
The Right Behind Series?
To the Left Behind Series.
Oh. I should have known, Ace. I should have known.
No, that's true. I actually...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Right behind. We're going to be right behind, right?
It's called The Right Behind.
You make my point. Prosperity theology, where one's prosper at the expense of others. Liberation theology, all these have an idea at the expense of others, and I'm chosen and you're not. And I think it's high time that the church looks into some of these things and gets rid of them. We need to clean our house too. Our theology needs to change, and the churches need to change. And how that's going to happen, God only knows, because I don't. The only thing I can do is stand up here and talk, and you can talk, and you can share, and the message will get around. I think the gospel is very simple, is that there's life hereafter. God has provided a way through Jesus Christ, his message, what he taught, of forgiveness, grace, and mercy. And I believe in Romans 11, where Paul writes that he has bound everyone over to disobedience so that God can have mercy on us all. And I think that's a beautiful text, and that's a summation of Romans, and I hang on to that really hard. And I think more should read Romans and quit trying to slice and dice it up to their benefit. Because Paul in Romans definitely makes, and I'm not the only one who thinks this, a very good, strong case of salvation for all of humanity. And it's just there if you're interested in...
Maybe that's the problem. Everybody thinks they get forgiveness, so it don't matter, and they keep repeating them. Maybe you should say, you know, something, don't do it again, and then forgiveness, grace, and mercy.
Well, the problem is we're human beings, and we have predispositions through our genetics and our genes to do various different things. We're to sum it up, a mess. And that's just what we are.
I mean, I think it's been allowed.
Yes.
We didn't have a slide.
I think the male dominance has gone on too long myself. I would definitely agree. I think there's things that we can throttle back and move other things ahead in a more positive way in our society and our theology.
Who's preaching next week? Which one of the women? Sorry, brother.
That's okay. I like messages like this where people share and express themselves. I think it was kind of designed that way because I had questions. And I want that. I like that. But there's other passages, I won't get into that, that support that idea. Third, we don't need to plan our spiritual life, we are led in our spiritual life. Traditions are good, but we're not bound by traditions, and they're not necessary, but the New Testament idea is you're guided by the Spirit. So you don't have to go out here and plan and say, I have to go to church this many times, and I have to say this many Hail Marys, I have to do all this and this and this and this and this. You're led by the Spirit. tradition is good. Don't let me get me wrong. I think traditions are good. There's nothing wrong with that. The last one, when he says, anybody who knows, verse 17, if anyone then knows good they ought to do and don't and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. I take that as there's no one model or standard of a godly life. There's difference in good. I mean, Christianity is going to look different in Africa or in Europe or in Asia or in Pennsylvania here, in Mexico. It's all going to look different. So there's not just one model that we all have to come over here and do this one model. There's multiple models in multiple ways. And the love of God or Christianity is expressed differently in different parts of the world. I think I have one concluding thought. And we have my concluding sentence for all of this is that we have much to be thankful for in this season. Yes. And it starts with a God who loves us all.
Not so.
And what?
It's not so.
Not so?
It's not so.
There's no snow.
Oh, he doesn't love us, so if he didn't give us no snow?
Yeah.
I'm lost in that thought. I don't know. I got it. Okay. So God loves us all, and even all the different peoples of the world. And just remember to be thankful in this season while you're sitting down to eat your turkey. There's a lot of people who are going hungry in this world. And think about it, the blessings that we have in this country, because we have lots and lots of them. And reach out to the person that you can help, whoever that is. Amen.
We have come to the time in our service where we take the offering. For those of you who are visiting, please feel under no obligation to participate. This service is our gift to you. But for those of you who consider Canoe Camp to be your church home, we want to thank you for your faithfulness to participate financially in the ongoing support of this ministry. Amen.
This is our gift for